Yes. Welcome in to another episode of Triple B, aka Buzzer Beater Banter. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Lyndon Burton, joined by our other host, Mr. Nick Sharamy. This is episode 13. Nick, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. It's a Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Got some Cajuns baseball on the docket in about an hour here for my recording time. And, dog, I'm excited. I'm good. Obviously, at this point, everyone knows I was right about Nichols. We smoked the hell out of him. I'll save that for later.
We'll get into that. Also, make sure, if you don't know, make sure you check out the blog site Vagabond Sports. We're going to keep mentioning it every episode. Nick has some articles out. I will finally have some articles out by the time you guys hear this. We're dropping this literally right after we record, so you can get it early on a Saturday. We promise our two episodes a week thing will be more, right? I just couldn't record on Friday because I had some people coming over to my house. But we got it to you on a Saturday. Nonetheless, we have a great docket for you. Today, we will cover March Madness. We will discuss what has been happening, both men's and women's side. We will talk about some of the updates of the Saints. They did pick up some people, and some things happened in the world of the NFL that is super crazy that I think is worth discussing. And then we will have, just like we have Nick's baseball corner, I did a separate post watching the Pelicans game reaction along with my thoughts for like 10 minutes. So we'll plug that in before we finish with Nick's baseball corner. And also on the Friday show, we'll probably save it for the Friday show. But if you either comment your thoughts on our videos, if you email us at broswhothink@outlook.com, if you tweet at Nick or myself, however you get in contact with us, whether it's a question, a comment, or you just want us to say, hey, we will read your comments on air. We will save that for Friday. And that's how we'll start off every Friday show, as a thank you to you, the viewer and the listener. So let's get in to it. Today is the start of what should we call it, Nick? It needs a title. Fan reactions or so, like, what should we call the segment? It needs a title. I mean,
It doesn't have to be something crazy.
Supporter love. Oh, crew love. Duh, crew I'm love. A Drake fan. Crew love.
Come on.
Oh my gosh, it was right there in my face. So this segment will be called Crew Love. We'll be doing it every Friday. So let's start off with the first of Crew Love. So we got Hunter Oakwin. Shout out to him. He commented, hey guys, I've been fans of you guys since Lyndon had Rise and Grind on ESPN Lafayette. And then you guys had the huddle. I have some ideas for some wrestling episodes. I'm from New Iberia, but currently live in Rain. I would love to meet you guys anywhere just to get your thoughts on sports. And I will be commenting more often. Maybe we can even collab in the future. Thank you, Hunter Oakwin, for that amazing comment. Dude. We would love to, you know, either have a fan meet up with all of y'all. I'm not going to call y'all fans because y'all are supporters. Y'all are family at this point. A crew love meetup. Because now that we don't work for ESPN Lafayette, we can do it. We can talk about it. They never wanted us to do it. They never me and Nick begged. Dave begged. They never wanted us to host any type of event. So anytime y'all said it, we didn't know what the fuck to say because our bosses didn't support it because they didn't give a fuck about that station. But I digress. That bugged me because you don't know how many times they asked us to meet with the community, to get invested, but we never had any support behind the scenes. So, but we will do that. So Nick and I can set something up. If enough of y'all comment on when and where y'all want to meet. Actually, on this video and the next video, we'll run a poll. Comment your favorite sports bar / restaurant, whether that's B-Dubs, Adopt a Dog, and beat up his Buffalo Wild Wings. Adopt a dog. Isn't Yard House new?
Yard Goat just opened up. I haven't checked it out yet. I need to.
My girlfriend said it's nice. So
Yard Goat is really nice.
KOK Wings, wherever. Love comment those, your spot and let us know. And we'll set up event. Maybe like we can watch the championship of March Madness. Maybe we can do something. We'll set something up. Watch a Raging Cajuns baseball game. Something. So let us know. And preferably me personally, I would like to go where there's food because I would love to eat some wings. But I digress. All right. Next comment is from one of our, I didn't even know Hunter Oakway, you listened to us from our radio time. So thank you. Another person who has supported us since before Nick was even working with me at the station, supported me with Norm's show, supported Rise and Grind, supported the Huddle, Nick and I show. So, and Blaze, can't ever forget Blaze. Our guy, Ronnie. So Ronnie commented a bunch of stuff. We will respond to each of them. So the first one, I'd be very surprised if NC State wins the men's March Madness. They can, but I don't see it. So how do you feel about that, Nick? Because the next thing changes the topic.
So, I mean, honestly, based on what I've seen from the tournament so far, I mean, they're on this run. Right now, it's Purdue. And
ooh, you think it's Purdue? Okay.
Well, so it's Purdue they're facing. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
And what I was gonna say is I think that's a bad matchup for Purdue.
Ooh.
NC State's got that big guy.
Yeah.
Zach Edey won't be doing that in the paint.
Yeah, Zach Edey
Burns can punish that little skinny kid.
I'll say this: Zach Edey is not as skinny as say a Chet Holmgren or a Wimby,
sure,
but he's not as thick as Taco Fall. So, like,
well, I mean,
he's somewhere in between.
And I mean, DJ Burns is just a space heater in the paint. I mean, he's
DJ Burns is like a Zion, but taller. Zach Randolph, essentially. So, wait, let me see how much Zach Edey weighs. We'll do this. Right,
it can't be more than like what, 210, 200?
You're guessing 200? Oh, this will shock you. Zach Edey, for all the YouTube, for all the audio listeners,
what the 300, hell?
300 pounds. That is
what the hell?
I did not know that, bro. Okay, ESPN wrote an article. Let me
I forgot he was 7'4". So that messes with weight a lot.
Because so wait,
height messes with weight a lot.
Okay, so the 300 pounds thing I think was last season. He has slimmed down to 285, 290.
Again, I always
that's still bigger than what I thought he was.
It's because of how height works. 7'4" is super duper duper
super
duper
tall.
I knew he was 7 foot. I knew it started with 7, but 7'4" makes a difference.
But still, DJ Burns. Oh, he weighs 285. Oh, so maybe he won't have the weight advantage. DJ Burns,
he's just denser.
He's thicker, and I think DJ Burns is faster too. Like, he's more athletic than Zach Edey. So my thing
that's surprising. That shocks me because I think it's all goes back to the height thing though. Because I knew he was taught in there. He was 7'4".
Yeah, that shit blew my mind. I did not know he was gonna.
But that's how
295.
I mean, Yao Ming was super heavy too. And
yeah, like, but I mean, look at Chet and Wimby. Chet and Wimby barely cracked 200 pounds. Like, but isn't
Wimby? Wimby's like 7. Is he 7 feet? I don't think so.
Yeah. Hold on. Now, let me pull up this real quick, and then we will finish up answering all these questions.
Oh, yeah. So, Wimby's 7'4", but he's 200 pounds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Him and Chet Holmgren are crazy. Twigs, yeah, brother.
Wow.
So, okay. So,
I don't know much shit when it comes to basketball, I guess. I guess I'm talking out my ass.
No, but no. I mean, look, that is fair. I told those dudes are skinny as shit.
Yeah, I thought Zach Edey was way lighter.
Me too. He looks on the TV. He doesn't look heavy. He looks, no, like he I said, a slightly bigger version than Wimby, but smaller than Taco Fall. But I guess him and Taco Fall are the same weight. Taco Fall just was badly built. Zach Edey's not badly built. The weight's distributed everywhere. But I digress. The game, this episode will be out before the game today at 5. So I'm picking NC State. I think DJ Burns will dominate Zach Edey because Zach Edey won't be. All DJ Burns has to do is take him out of the paint and blow by him. And that's what I think is going to happen. I do think Edey will get a lot of offensive rebounds per usual and putbacks, but I don't think in terms of dropping it down to him in the post and him doing a post move on DJ Burns, I don't see that happening as often as it happened with other games.
I will say that. And I also don't know how I feel about the rest of the team around them. Purdue's team is pretty good, but this NC State team, they're on a run. They have this energy behind them. They obviously have the underdog benefit.
And so, like, I mean, the thing is, they have great guards. Like, yeah, it's not really DJ Burns. There's another DJ on the team, DJ Horn. That kid is a baller, bro. He dropped 20 the last game. And then you have help from off the bench and around the team with what's this kid's name? Casey Morsel. And then Ben Middlebrooks. Those two dudes help the offense out a lot. Whereas when you look at Purdue, let me pull up their other games real quick. when you look at their stats and how they've played, it's mainly been Zach Eady dropped 40 points. The next highest person was their guard, Fletcher Lawyer, however you pronounce it, L-O-R-Y-E-R. Yeah. Well, I think I'm pretty sure that's Lawyer. Lawyer. He had 14. No one else came close to double digits. So that team lives and dies by Zach Eady. And honestly, Lawyer's points came off a double team wide open shots. They won't have to double team Zach Eady as much as other teams because DJ Burns can handle his all. I have NC State beating Purdue. The problem then becomes, what do they do against the winner of UConn and Bama? Because if UConn wins, they are a better all-around. They have more than two people. Like, NC State has two quality people and then two role players aside them. UConn has a starting five that is great and then role players. And they, as we said last episode, they play their style of ball and nothing gets them out. They make you play how they want. And on the other side of that coin, you have Alabama, who's the fastest team in the country, shoots the most threes and makes you play at their tempo. If DJ Burns plays Alabama, they might tire him out and get that team fatigued because NC State plays slow.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, it's going to be, I mean, that's going to be a very interesting matchup, and that's going to be.
It just depends on who UConn, if UConn or Bama wins. That's today at 7:49. I will be having that on the smaller screen because it is WrestleMania weekend, baby. Yeah. So make sure you watch our WrestleMania predictions. We don't talk about that on the sports show. We have a whole wrestling podcast on the side. But thank you for one of your comments, Ronnie. Let's get into another one. He said, Chris Paul is a great comparison. I think more Westbrook with her. All-around game, rebound, pass, and score. Talking about Paige Bueckers in our comments about her. Well, Paige Bueckers' time in the tournament is over. UConn lost to Iowa last night on the buzzer, Nick. The referee called such a bad, like, you don't make that call in those final moments. I know some people may say, oh, that was a foul. I didn't think that was a foul. I think that was just a solid screen, more so a flop. And if you call that, why did you not call the Caitlin Clark push-off shot right before, which was clearly an offensive foul? It's like, I understand they wanted Caitlin Clark in the championship, but, like, that was two bad, bad calls at the end of the game.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that I think we sometimes forget about when we talk about predictions and such is that sometimes, man, the refs just
screw these things. Your whole thing
apart. Yeah,
like, I just mean, mess it up.
Day, at the end of the day, though, that was a much better game than I think I thought it was going to be.
Facts, me too. I thought,
like,
I thought
it was going to go one way or the other, like, very hard.
Let me
a lot Caitlin closer Clark's... to like what South Carolina NC State ended up being. Mm-hmm. But
let me give Caitlin Clark's teammates props because we thought it was just going to be the Caitlin Clark show, and she was not the top scorer.
No, she
the
wasn't.
Top scorer was Hannah Stuhlke with 23 points. Shout out to Stuhlke. And then you had off the bench the guard Kate Martin. Oh no, she is the starter. Excuse me, the starting guard Kate Martin with 11. You had the other guard with 8. Like, her teammates showed up this game.
Yeah,
I got to give it to them. And then Paige was trying to be not as selfish. She had 17 points, 3 assists, but she had more so. She had like 7 pass to ball to get the next pass open.
Yeah,
so
she pass to assist. She had a lot.
She had the 7 hockey assists.
Movements. Yeah. A lot of ball movements, but it's just, man, like,
she had to be more aggressive. And Gino Auriemma said it in his press conference of this was a great learning moment for Paige, because you got to remember Paige has been injured and hasn't been in these big moments because of her injuries. This was her first real tournament appearance, and Gino said she's got to learn that she is the most talented one, and she has to take over.
It's the rare fault of the humble superstar is
the LeBron effect. Literally,
they're too humble. They want to bring the ball around. They want to get it to the open.
Get their teammates involved and make the right play. Honestly, when you're taught basketball, the way Paige Bueckers and LeBron plays, that's the right play. The Kobe Michael killer attitude take over the game. That was considered ball hogging. Let's call a spade.
Yeah, it is. It was broadly considered ball hogging, and like, you have to be a very special kind of player
to do that.
Know that you can do that.
Yeah, facts. The Caitlin Clarks, the Kobe's.
There are probably tens of thousands of high school basketball players in the world who think they are Kobe.
They can do that. Yeah.
Who think they can pull that Steph. But there are probably almost just as many that can do it and don't want to.
And try to play the right way.
Because they're trying to play the game the right way.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Paige does,
very
man.
Interesting, yeah.
So Paige had 17, three official assists. Yeah, she does. Four rebounds and seven hockey assists. Shout out to her teammate, Aliyah Edwards. She really balled out, and they're the one who called the foul on, and she was crying. Aliyah, don't worry. Bounce back from that. You had 17, eight rebounds. Played a great game. It just was a little too physical of a screen, but in the next level, yeah, they won't call that. No, so don't worry about that. I think UConn will be back. I think they are going to be the prohibitive favorite going into next season because their top stars are coming back. Angel Reese is not going to LSU. Haley Van Lith is transferring, which, real quick, isn't that crazy? The fact that the fans got on her, she felt like she, you know, let the team down in a sense, yeah, and she did, is she running from the challenge, Nick? I think if a competitor type shit, she should have took that on the chin and said, you know what, Mulkey, I'll take the challenge and I'll be better next year. But instead, she's run. I'm calling it. She's running from the grind. If we can say that about men, I'm saying it about the woman.
I think there's a difference to me that I think there's a difference of being able to kind of stand in and take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to like say, hey, well, you know, I'm not,
it just doesn't,
I'm not
fit
gonna run from this. I'm sticking with it. And then on the other hand,
she fits there.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I think, I mean, obviously, you know, we're not in her head. I'm not going to try and pretend to understand what's going on. But in my mind, I think this is a situation where if you really want this to be your life, if you are this tied in with your sport and you love it that much,
go to the WNBA and all that,
you gotta shut out the noise.
Yeah,
because that's gonna happen. That's gonna happen at the next level, and it happens from your own fans and it happens from other fans, and it's something, I mean, a lot of people don't have the mental,
it's an expectation that you are supposed to,
it's not fair
base, it's not fair, but when
it's
you're
fair,
getting,
but that's what
when
it is,
you're getting top NIL, when you're the top player in college, when you're,
it's
supposed
athletics.
To be, when they viewed you when you transferred, you and Angel Reese were supposed to be Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Y'all were supposed to be Chris Paul and David West. Y'all were supposed to be Shaq and Kobe. And Angel lived up to her end. You didn't, Haley. And I don't know, after she did the same thing at Louisville where she, you know, lost in the tournament and was like, I want to go to a better team. So maybe she's always been running from the grind. Hopefully she can bounce back and do well at her next place. I don't know where I don't know where she goes, bro. It's not like she's going to go to a top school. Yeah. Like, she's not going to UConn.
Well, I mean, we do the same thing with players in the NBA too. I mean, people just bounce.
Oh yeah. We fuss about that. That's what I'm saying.
Chase the chip. And I mean, it's like, that's, yeah, it's the exact same thing.
If we fuss about Kevin Durant, I'm going to fuss about HBO.
Yeah. And I think the only thing that kind of makes this a little different is this is still technically amateur basketball.
For sure. Like, for sure.
Because it's college, it's amateur basketball. A lot of these girls still have some growing up to do. And I say that as someone who's not much older than them. Like,
I was at that age, I had a lot of growing up to do. And I still had, like, we're still maturing. So,
right. And so, I mean, that's an element of like, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt and I will, but
it's not a good look.
Once is a coincidence, or what is it? Twice is a coincidence, three times is a pattern.
Yeah.
Like, that's
fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
We can't get fooled again.
Yeah. I'll say this, because you said it earlier. Maybe there's something there that we don't know. So if there is,
that's exactly.
I'll give her grace for sure. But if it's what I think, then there's no grace. Sorry, Haley. You're a top athlete. You got to deal with that. But also, NC State lost to South Carolina. Like we figured, South Carolina is just a juggernaut of a team. We will discuss the winner of that after Ronnie's last comment. And then we'll get into that portion of the show. So Ronnie tweeted, commented on our video. It's sad how they did those girls. Lots of racism in that junk. The media in itself condoned that. Mostly a racist unit that attacks people in their character were able to get their voice out and do it again. Look, we don't have to spend too long on that because me and Nick broke that down fully on the last show. I agree. Did not like how people reacted. Also didn't like how certain prominent Black voices tended to agree with the hate spewed by that brand of the world. And it's just like, oh, so you're doing it for the check. It just like you gave, you showed your moral compass. So we don't need to spend too much longer on that. But I'll say this, jumping into, that's the end of Crew Love. Shout out to everybody who commented and gave their thoughts. If you want to be a part of the next week's Crew Log segment, comment on the videos that's under this video that's released, comment on the Tuesday video that gets released, the early week episode, or tweet at us. Nick yeah. at it share it's share me
share it's me oh share it's me
yes tweet at Nick or tweet at me at LynnBWT or email us at bros who think all caps no spaces bros who think at outlook.com. The links to the email will be in the description of this video, but that's Crew Love. Can't wait to do that each and every week. Now, we talked a lot about the women's Final Four. We talked about the men's Final Four. There's just one game that we need to discuss, and that's NC State, South Carolina. They whooped their ass. South Carolina, it is a bunch of dogs. Those girls are incredible. Yeah. And they play like a team. It's not just one person scoring. No, they have the whole team playing well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of where you get some of these, like, that's kind of goes back to the UConn and Iowa thing. For whatever reason, this NC State team, they were giving me good vibes, and mm-hmm. they show up against South Carolina, and it's just like a South Carolina just turned it on.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, I mean, it's, you could tell, like, from the very beginning, like, something was different. Like, it was a different feeling game. Mm-hmm. It felt different.
I agree. Now, the championship for that is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. Excuse me. Oh, it's early. That's weird. Well, I'm glad it is, because WrestleMania, the main event's that night, so I get to watch.
They probably didn't want to compete
with that. Yeah, for sure. So it's tomorrow at 2, Iowa versus South Carolina. I am picking South Carolina. Nick, give me your pick.
Yeah, I'm gonna take South Carolina here.
Yeah, it's just like, look, I think Caitlin Clark's teammates had a
great
game.
And they're on fire right now.
I think Caitlin Clark's teammate had that thing where they played their championship was against UConn, and I'm pretty sure you said that if they beat UConn, you've said that you felt that the teammates were probably going to play their best game of their lives that game, and I don't know if they can do that two times in a row. You know what I'm saying? If I was going to win, Caitlin Clark's going to have to drop 50 to 40 points, like, yeah. which is crazy to say, yeah. like, but she can do it. But South Carolina just plays too good a defense, in my opinion, and Dawn Staley is the best coach in women's basketball. It's her and Kim Mulkey and Gino Auriemma. Those three are interchangeable. Whichever one you want to say is one. Dawn Staley has her players believing in her to another Absolutely. Level. They yeah, play yeah. defense. Like, that's a gritty-ass team. So I'm picking South Carolina to win. The men's, like we said, they play today. While you're at, right after we drop this, they play at 5 and 7. I picked NC State to win. Nick, you picked NC State as well. Let's pick Alabama, UConn. Who you got winning?
I said UConn originally.
Yeah, we said UConn earlier in the week.
Alabama is mm-hmm. they're playing like
that's what I told out. You.
They're
yeah.
playing lights out, man.
They live and die by the three. That's the scary thing.
The Shaq, I wasn't familiar with your game. Like, that's me right now. Mm-hmm. I was not familiar with the game.
We're both picking Bama?
Yeah, I got to pick Bama.
Yeah.
I got to pick Bama. And then when we get to the championship, I mean, I don't know. If NC State makes it out of that semifinal game, I mean,
it's like, it's going to be hard to beat them with their momentum. It's going to be hard. And the thing is,
the momentum, the Cinderella story.
Alabama plays this live and die by the three. Mm-hmm. If they are able to overcome UConn,
they just haven't died by it yet.
I can't bet that they're, you know, right. the odds, the percentages it's, are it's, that it keeps, they will die by the three yeah. at some point.
Yeah, at some point it has
that,
to go down.
That reminds me of the Orlando Magic when they played the Lakers in the NBA Finals with Dwight Howard, Guido Turk, Jameer Nelson, Michael Petras. When that team was coming up, they were making threes the entire series. And I remember my dad said early, or no, not my dad, my grandpa said early in the series that teams live and die by the three. And Charles Barkley, literally when they made it to the finals, right after the Eastern Conference Championship, he echoed my grandpa's sentiments of, this team is good. They make a lot of threes, but they haven't died by it yet. And when they do, it's going to hit them like a train of bricks.
Yeah.
If Bama wins this, I see NC State winning the championship. I'm picking NC State to win, but I do think Bama makes it. So that is our men's March Madness and women's March Madness discussion. Let's jump into the NFL. Nick, real quick, before we get to the major news, how did you feel about the Saints pickup of the linebacker?
The Saints what?
The Saints picked up a linebacker.
Oh, the Saints. Oh, I don't know why you said, I thought you said picker.
Oh,
like,
no,
like, picked like a draft pick or something. I was like, what are you talking about?
The Saints picked up, excuse me, picked up a linebacker.
I didn't see picked this up, news. Did this happen yesterday?
Yes, I believe
I have had it for those who want to flame me right now. I've had a crazy week of work, so you can get on my back.
Hold on, I'll tell you exactly. Can you pull up the name? Because I'm looking through Rappaport.
I'm looking for it right now.
To make sure that...
Oh, yeah, of course.
We have all the news in there, because there was a lot of news that happened. Hold on,
Kalik Hudson.
Yeah, Kalik Hudson. And he has a rapport with Chase Young.
Yes, this is a commander, a former commander, University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
Are you excited about this, or does this not move the needle?
This is a depth pick. It's a depth pickup, it looks like. I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing guys in, especially not right now. You got to kind of build up everything. But, yeah, I mean, I don't.
This is not that big of a deal.
Not that exciting.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we have two more NFL things. We'll look at a mock draft. But first, look, I don't know what's up with these young NFL players.
Before we get there.
Oh, go ahead.
The pickup that does move the needle for me is Charlie Smythe, a kicker.
Oh, is that what the same?
I was looking for his name.
Is that Charlie Smythe,
Gaelic football goalkeeper from the International Player Pathway Program?
Oh my gosh, he's a goalie.
He was a goalie. Yeah, he's this is a cat that like plus 60, nothing.
Oh shit. So yeah. We're done with oh boy.
Yeah, not Gilligan's a punter. What's his name?
Yeah, I was about to say Garrett Huntley, but that's so far away.
Dude, you're blind. It's the short kid, the kid that looked like a 19-year-old.
I know. I'm looking at him.
I can't remember his name is a problem. That's like
he used to be good, but
used to be.
Oh, it's not Will Lutz because we got rid of Will Lutz for this guy. Holy shit, who is the Saints kicker right now? Oh, Blake Groupie. Yeah,
Groupie, that's it. You think Groupie's done?
He missed too many high leverage kicks. Yeah, he did. And like he barely beat out Will Lutz. He barely beat out Will Lutz, and everybody was like, let's go with the young guy. I think the Saints are like, no, we gotta find us a new young kicker that can make it from not only the 50s and the 60s, but doesn't miss any of the easy 40s.
He doesn't miss any of the easy stuff. Yeah, and that's what
Groupie's problem was
to compete during the
Groupie killed during the long kicks, but it was always the short, easy things. I was like, bro, why are you?
That's the stuff where, but that's the stuff where you get in your head.
Yeah, true. He showed it was very much mental with him. Now, before I get to the mock draft stuff in the major news, I got to say, Nick, some of these NFL players, what are they doing? Rashee Rice, you had the world in your hand. You were about to be Patrick Mahomes, if not number one, number two wide receiver. You're going to be the gadget guy.
It's Akers, man.
Like
people are flying too close to the sun. You think you're invincible and you. Willing to do
not,
stuff,
but
like, not man. Like,
and then the dude not only was it drunk driving, he had like so much weed in his car, like he could
and it was
end
a
up
rented car. It was a rented car.
He could end up going to jail for life. Like, that's the crazy thing.
Like the funny side of this is like that old Top Gear quote that Jeremy Clarkson said: "What's the fastest car in the world is a rental car." Because you don't give a shit, but like the context of how where like. It's not like you rented a Lamborghini and then went off on a back road and
flew around basically, 150. You're doing this
in a public
a rented Lamborghini too. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So his lawyer said, "I want to say on behalf of Mr. Rice that he is fully cooperating with the Dallas Police Department. We will continue to cooperate with them regarding this particular accident." So basically, he had 10.8 grams of marijuana in the trunk, which isn't for weed. For people that don't understand weed, that's not a lot of weed. That's a little bit more than a quarter of an ounce. That's not even a half an ounce. So in terms of the weed, that was probably smokable for himself.
That's a personal amount.
Exactly. So the weed isn't the problem. The problem is the multiple level crash. Was it a DUI? Because I'm trying to see.
I don't think he was drunk. I think he was just racing.
Okay.
He was just racing.
Boom. That's what I was making sure that I wasn't.
Because that's my thing. That's where I say this. He's just stupid. Like, I don't. There's a stupid decision.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay,
like,
so
this is not a rug situation to me.
It's not. I'm seeing
this.
This
is not that serious. This is definitely more closer to something like when Olave got
Yeah.
Over last
so
year.
He won't be done for with his NFL. He's okay, so I forever. Thought
he's,
I thought
gonna,
it was a DUI.
He's going to pay a hefty fine. He's going to get some bad PR for a few months and then he's going to
he's okay. Okay, cool. I'm sorry.
I mean, but still
not
still
right.
A bad decision.
Yeah. Still a bad decision to be driving your Lamborghini over 100 miles an hour.
If you're
going to
rent a Lamborghini and you want to drive it fast,
go to a track. Yeah.
Or go to a back road if you're really insistent on doing it illegally.
There's legitimate tracks where you can go and drive.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So do that, man. Like I don't even want to say the back road, Nick, because of curves. You know how some back roads have those small
curves. Of course. Yeah.
Guys, I don't even trust them to handle the curve.
I mean, you're a football player, not an F1 driver.
So go to a track and get that experience. Don't do this
or buy a sim.
Yeah, facts.
My point. Buy a sim. That's way cheaper.
Because it was a multi-car crash and you could have killed someone. And
These guys could probably afford to build like a really cool simulator with like the full intense like immersion.
Luckily, no one died or anything.
Yeah, I know. Very lucky that no one was hurt.
Nick's point, he will be okay. Yeah. And the weed stuff, don't worry about that. That was literally his
personal stash.
That's not. It's not like he was a dealer or something crazy or had a DUI. So again, my apologies to Rasheed. I thought it was that, but it wasn't. So, okay, we can move on to the other major news before we get to the mock draft. Look, Stephon Diggs to Houston. Prediction of Houston came through so well.
Do you know what sucks?
Right after the episode. If you didn't take the odds when Nick told you, it was over.
Well, what sucks is after the episode came out, I checked the odds. They had gone down by like 200 points.
So that's like, when you take it.
Like I should have taken it. I should have taken it when I said it, not when the episode released. But I was gonna, because I was.
But that should have shown.
I was gonna do a whole thing. I was gonna take the. I was gonna take the odds, post the bet slip as the like quote tweeting the episode. It was gonna be a whole thing, and then I saw the odds and I was like, they're still good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not nearly as good.
But that
as they
showed
were.
That showed that Vegas might have got some word that something was about to happen.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because they're to your point, it was plus 2,000. When you saw it, it was probably like plus 1,000.
It was a 1,400, I think.
So boom, they knew something was coming. Now, I bet the odds are like plus 5, plus 6, something super under. So, you can check real quick if you want.
Yeah, let me see if I can get it on my phone.
While you look. Yeah. That's a big move for them, bro.
Huge.
That legitimately makes them, in my opinion, the ultimate second team to legitimately contend against the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah. They are legitimately the best contender to beat the Chiefs, and we were always saying Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, which will be the new Tom Brady, Peyton Manning rivalry. I think it might end up being Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud because of what has happened. Like,
okay, the Texans are down to 1,500 as of today.
Oh, okay, so still solid.
It's still pretty good. But I mean, mind you, this is because this early in the season, it's always
this is pre-draft.
The odds on favorite, the odds on favorite is the 49ers at 500. Chiefs at 650. Ravens at 900. Cowboys at 1,300.
Yeah, it's just cowboy love.
They always get raised by the betting.
And then Houston, nice. That's
no,
good.
And no, Detroit, and then Buffalo.
Buffalo,
that doesn't make any sense to me at all. I wouldn't take Buffalo if you paid me.
Yeah, no way. But to me, I was about to say in the rankings it goes,
the Texans are above the Bengals, they're above the Eagles.
I was about to say in the AFC I would say the Chiefs are one, I would say the Texans are two,
and then the Ravens are three,
and then the Ravens are three, and then I'd probably go Bengals four, Miami five. Buffalo is not in the top five. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they lost a lot.
I think Miami is going to be good because they picked up more speed and they picked up more defense to help them.
I love
their identity. It's speed and defense, bro.
And punishing.
Yeah. Facts. So I got them at five and I got the Bengals at four. I think Joe Burrow, healthy in that team, we know what they can do. So, but to me, the Texans, the Ravens, those two teams, that's number two and three, Bengals four, Miami five. I think Houston has a legitimate shot now. Now you gave CJ Stroud a true number one wide receiver. It allows Tank Dell to grow and not have to worry about being his top target.
What's the other dude?
He's good too.
Nico Collins.
Yeah, Nico Collins and Tank Dell can be the solid secondary and third
option.
which it's two of the best to have at your second and third option.
I would say at this point, the Texans probably have the best receiving core in the league.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. It's hard to argue that, especially with the Bengals losing some of their people. They just have, I'm pretty sure T. Higgins is franchise tagged, but they lost Boyd. Or it's the other way around. Boyd's still there, and Higgins left.
One of the two.
One of it is. So they lost their wide receiver core. I would say the Vikings with Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson is a good two-man, but they don't have a third person in there. So yeah, whereas the Texans have the third, the Rams have Puka and Cooper Kupp, but they don't have a third.
Cooper Kupp kind of fell off, too.
True. The 49ers have Kittle, Debo Samuel, and Ayuk. I would say
Kittle didn't count. He's a tight end.
We're not counting it. I'm counting pass.
I'm not counting it.
Okay, so just I'm saying best strictly receivers. Wide receivers.
Because if you want to say best weapons, then yeah,
I was gonna say pass catching. Yeah. I'm saying, but I mean, best weapon because the Eagles are up there too. The Eagles have.
If you ask me what the Texans need on offense at this point, I would say running back.
Yeah, I agree. They do need and I think that's what they might draft. Honestly,
yeah,
because they don't have a legitimate solid back. And honestly, if they could get a tight end, that would be great too. Like, imagine if Brock Bowers falls to
that's tight. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. They want a big athletic tight end, like a Jimmy Graham type. They don't need someone who's like quicker and a little more shifty. They need a big tough guy
who
can go up and handle, you know, big like
this though. On the Bills tip, because we'll get back to the Texans when we look at the mock draft. On the Bills tip, it's just like it just showed Stephon Diggs was more committed to the grind than Josh Allen. Josh Allen, I know you remember when we talked about the rumors about how Stephon Diggs was mad that Josh Allen was more focused on cheating on his wife at the time with Haley Steinfeld and more concerned about his relationship than the playoffs, and that started the beef. And Josh Allen never beat those allegations because he would play great all season. But the moment the playoffs came, something happened to where he just couldn't do it. And whether that's in his personal life or just he had the yips, Stephon Diggs was right in this situation. I'm going to say it. He was not a diva. He just wanted to win and wanted everyone to be locked in. That's crazy. You trade a wide receiver of his caliber because all he wanted to do was win.
Yeah.
You backed your quarterback. We'll see if that works.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
They have
though.
A lot to do. They have a
the,
lot to do.
The Bills legitimately went from one of the best contenders and potentially best futures to now it's like it's looking rough because now y'all don't have Gabe Davis, y'all don't have Stephon Diggs, and you don't have a running back. All you got is Josh Allen.
Yeah, and Khalil Shakir.
All right, let's look at the mock draft to see if anything changed. We're looking at ESPN, NFL Network's mock draft. It dropped literally 23 hours ago. Caleb Williams at number one. I think we expect that. Jaden Daniels, number two at the Commanders. Is that what you expect to happen as well?
No, that's kind of a surprising step up. I am glad, but I do think that that's a little surprising.
I will say in response to that, Drake May has been visiting the Patriots. He's been with the Patriots a lot.
Interesting.
And NFL Network has Drake May going to the Patriots. Is that a mistake for the Patriots? Is this just drafting Mac Jones again?
I don't know.
I think it's better than JJ McCarthy.
Oh, he's
because people were trying to say JJ McCarthy should go to the Patriots.
There's a lot of things being said about JJ McCarthy right now. And I believe a little bit of that hype because if you listen to some of the stuff they say about how he was managing that team, and he was managing that team in the playoffs, the college football playoffs. That's a skill set that it translates really well to the
NFL. Yeah, if you can be able to
be a leader, being a game manager.
Nothing wrong with being a game manager. Brock Purdy's one, and he took his team to the Super Bowl.
And he very easily could be, you know, it's easier to grow
a game manager.
You can get a strong arm. Right. Yeah. You can turn a game manager into a strong arm. You can turn a game manager into a great improviser. Like
it might not work, but you can.
But you can at least try to develop that. And in the meantime, you will still win games.
Yeah, because you know he can dink and dunk. You know he will make the accurate, smart
decision. He'll make the smart choice. He'll make the right ball in the right spot. He won't make stupid decisions. He won't try and push the ball when he doesn't need to.
My only thing is, I think that, and like, shout out to Chris Sims, the quarterback guy for NBC Sports, he kind of agrees with me with this take. I think if you're gonna go to JJ McCarthy, you might as well take Michael Penix, because I think Michael Penix is better than both Drake May and JJ McCarthy. I think Michael Penix is being underrated right now, and whatever quarterback lands him, you're not only getting a huge arm. Michael Penix has the accuracy shit of one of the best accurate balls in the whole draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think Penix definitely has the accuracy on his side.
Yeah, he's the top. He's the most accurate quarterback. He's underrated as hell, Nick.
I'll say this: I think one of these
is gonna bust.
One of these quarterbacks is gonna bust, and one of these quarterbacks is gonna be the next dog, the next great one. And
I hope it's Jaden Daniels, but I don't know, man. I think
Jaden Daniels. I don't think Jaden Daniels is gonna be a bust. I think Jaden Daniels is easily gonna be. Like, he almost guaranteed has a lockdown, like, solid starter, mobile guy, good decision maker. But
will he be one of the best? I don't know.
That's going to be up to his development.
But you're saying his floor is just a solid NFL starter.
And that's what I'm saying. I think that's why I'm up on a guy like Jaden Daniels or a guy like J.J. McCarthy, because I think both of them have really good floors.
Good floors? Okay.
I don't necessarily know if their ceilings are as high as a guy like Caleb Williams or a guy like Drake May, but I think those two guys' floors are much, much, much lower.
Yeah, I definitely think Caleb Williams and Drake May are the boomer bust of the NFL.
Absolutely. And you know how I feel about it. I think Caleb Williams is a bust in the making.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the off-the-field stuff. No, I mean, do I like the kind of way he's trying to go about getting attention off the field by being purposefully inflammatory and stuff?
No.
if he was like a cornerback or a wide receiver, I'd say, yeah, I'm all for it. But quarterbacks kind of have to have a different
mentality.
Yeah, you got to be able to step up a little bit. And it has nothing to do with anything like that he's doing particularly. It's the way he's handling himself.
Gotcha. See, I think the bust for me, I think Caleb's going to be a boom. I think Jaden, we don't know about the floor. I think Drake May actually will be either a backup or a solid starter. He could be I'm picking my bus to be McCarthy. It's just something about him. It's either, or I would say Bo Nix. If you take Bo Nix, you wildin'.
Oh, yeah. I think Bo Nix is the Josh Rosen.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. poor Josh Rosen.
Poor Josh Rosen. He kind of
got a short end of the stick though, Nick.
There were five Arizona. Mistakes made before me. Really?
He went to Arizona and then they literally didn't even give him a chance, changed the coach and everything, and took Kyler Murray.
Five mistakes made before me. I want you to remember that.
He got bounced. I know he said that, but they got bounced around all around the league and never got a real shot. He never got a real chance, in my opinion.
I feel like there's a reason for that.
That's fair. All right, well, next pick, we got J.J. McCarthy to the Broncos as the Broncos make a trade with Arizona. We know Sean Payton wants a quarterback. I don't think he's going to make the same mistake twice that he made with Patrick Mahomes. Now, is J.J. McCarthy that guy? That's left to be seen. Number five, we got Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, my goodness. If the Chargers were able to get Marvin Harrison Jr., that would give Justin Herbert his guy.
That punches Justin Herbert up a few rungs.
Yeah, and they need it because they lost Keenan Allen and they lost Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, yep.
They need a star. So, all right, they got the Giants taking Malik Nabers, the Titans taking Joe Alt, the Cardinals from that trade getting Roma Dunze, which the Cardinals definitely need. Yeah. The Chicago Bears, they said they're going to go defense with the next pick, Dallas Turner. Yep. Yeah. To me, though, I don't know if
Dallas Turner's the right pick there, but
I'll say this: if Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison are gone, then you go defense. I still would want them to take Brock Bowers. I don't know why Bowers is falling so much right now, but
I still think he's a bit undervalued as a receiver.
Who, Bowers?
I think it's very easy to say that he bullied all those guys in college, but
that guy's a superstar, bro.
Well, that's the thing is I think a lot of scouts are saying, yeah, he bullied the guys around in college, but it's a different speed in the NFL.
Yeah, and
he's
NFL,
not going to be able to be as – he's not going to be able to just be physically bigger and stronger than everybody else because everybody's that strong.
I think they're discrediting his ability.
Well, more than anything, I think they're discrediting the SEC and the guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. Which
he
is
was
dumb.
Playing against NFL caliber talent yeah. the whole damn he's, time. He's playing the
entire time. Yeah,
the is, best football conference in the country. I
mean. Which is dumb. But they do have the Jets taking him at number 10. Which that'd be great for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
holy
well,
shit.
Aaron Rodgers isn't a vice president by then.
Stop it. at Minnesota, we got them taking Byron Murphy the second defensive tackle.
Sure.
At the Falcons,
perfectly boring for everybody.
Yeah. You have the Falcons taking Jared Verse, Florida State edge rusher. He has the Raiders taking J.C. Latham, and then the Saints taking Olam. You know his name. Say
Olamuke. Yeah, Olamuke, the guy.
Fashanu. Yeah.
Fashanu. Yeah.
So they have him taking that. We don't need to go through the rest of it because we were trying to get to the Saints. I will say the Chiefs. They do speak. Project that the Chiefs trade up to 17 and take Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy is the guy that they want.
Yeah.
They want him to be their new Tyreek Hill gadget guy because that you can't teach speed. There are certain things you can teach.
No, you can't teach 240. You mm-hmm. can increase strength and you can get a guy
teach
down.
Route running. Yeah,
you can get a guy down to like 4.8, 4.7 if he's slow. But you can't get once you get to like 4.5, that's gifted speed. That's not
facts.
And that's 4.2 speed. That is
that's
gifted
the
speed.
That's the fastest you can be. 4.24.
Yeah, I mean, we've never seen humans run faster than that.
Mm-mm. So this guy, if Patrick Mahomes can get him, that brings him to a new level because he learned how to dink and dunk. He learned how to game manage because when he lost Tyreek Hill, he had to do that. Yeah. But now you bring Xavier Worthy there with Rashee Rice. With Valdez Scantling, with Travis Kelce, and I do believe they might cut Valdez Scantling to get Michael Thomas. I do believe Michael Thomas may end up being a Chief. And if they have Rashee Rice, and Xavier Worthy with Travis Kelce, that's the best pass catching. That's the best. I know we talked about the Texans
with Pacheco in the backfield, mind you.
Mm-hmm. That's the best.
And still having Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I think is very undervalued as a backup running back.
The Chiefs then, Houston, they're back.
Yeah, they're back.
But the Bengals, and I think this is important because I'm excited about this pick as well. They have the Bengals taking Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. If you had Brian Thomas with Ja'Marr Chase plus whichever wide receiver they have left in the third, they're right back to the top wide receiver core.
Yeah.
Because I think Brian Thomas is underrated. I think Brian Thomas, to me, I think the best receiver in this group, I know people talk about Marvin Harrison Jr., but what Malik Nabers can do, I think what Malik Nabers had to do in the SEC, to Nick's point about the SEC being talented, the way he broke free and got space, you can't teach that. That kid is special.
Dude. We always talk about LSU being DBU, you know,
their
best
wide receivers.
Backs.
Damn near.
Well, I mean, who do the wide receivers go up against in practice?
The DB, yeah.
The best defensive backs in America.
You're right. So I would
you've got to be able to be built different to get past those guys.
I go Malik Nabers one. I'll put Marvin Harrison Jr. second. But I got Brian Thomas Jr. third over Roma Dunze. Just for the fact of who Brian Thomas went against each week and how special he was one of the reasons why Jaden Daniels won that Heisman because Brian Thomas killed. So those are the only really. Do you have a team that I haven't mentioned that you're interested in who they take? If not, we'll finish up the draft coverage right here.
I mean, who are the Panthers getting again?
Okay, so the Panthers don't have a first round pick.
That's right, they traded it.
Yep.
Oh wait. That's right. They traded it.
Mm-hmm. And got Bryce Young.
Bryce Young. Ah, sorry. I just wanted to smoke the Panthers.
Fucking dummies.
What about the Bucks?
Oh, okay. Let's see.
Something boring because they usually
the Bucks are down here. They have pick 26. They get who other people projected we get because Fashanu were gonna be gone. Huh. They took Fatananu.
Yeah. Okay.
Troy. Yep. So they need to build their offensive line with that's Baker. So
an appropriately boring pick, I think, for where they're at. Yeah. So I mean, I'm so scared of Atlanta with Kirk Cousins.
I'm scared of both Atlanta and Tampa. I think Baker figured it out, and I think with Mike Evans, Mike Evans knows the type. Like he worked with Johnny Manziel. Him and Johnny Manziel were successful for a reason. I think Baker has that in him, and
it's the attitude.
Yeah.
Mike Evans
knows that Baker is not afraid to throw a ball in double coverage to him.
Yeah.
Johnny did the same thing.
It's the, it's, yeah.
It's that white boy swagger, bro.
I didn't want to say it, but I was exactly what I was thinking. A little bit of white boy attitude.
That's that white boy swagger, the gunslinger mentality.
It's the gunslinger mentality. Same thing Aaron Rodgers had.
Mm-hmm. I could say Patrick Mahomes has a little bit of the gunslinger mentality.
About half of it, right?
Yeah. That's funny. But to that, and what the gunslinger mentality is, because it can, you don't have to be just white to have it. You could be black to have it.
I think honestly, Lamar has a little bit of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Lamar will do that thing where he'll run and he'll just hook the ball. Like,
yeah.
Purely from the elbow. And you're like, how the hell does he put that throw? The ball?
And Mike Evans is a tall receiver that can jump super high. And some quarterbacks don't take the shot of throwing it up there and saying,
Evans is a guy you got to trust. Like, you trust him in those jump ball situations.
And Johnny trusted him fully.
Same way, I mean, you got a lot of wide receivers in the league and you do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. But, Mike Evans is one of the best at it. And the thing is, absolutely, Johnny Manziel trusted him fully, and now he has Baker Mayfield who trusts him fully.
I'm with you on the thing with Baker Mayfield. I think he's primed for an absolute,
just resurgence. Like, I think he's going to be back to who we thought he was.
I like Baker, but
as a Saints fan, it's not good. But
not good.
I predicted Baker was going to be the best quarterback from that
draft.
And
as a Mike Evans hater, I also don't like it.
So I want Baker to succeed, me personally, because I hated how he fell off. And I think he deserves it.
He got screwed over in Cleveland and screwed over in Carolina. So.
All right, really quickly, let's do because I'm going to just update it now. No point to do a review of a game because I realized the Pelicans play again tomorrow. So really quickly, the Pelicans, when we started doing this, they were hot. They have fallen to number 7. They're 45-32. The Mavericks are 47-30. The Suns are 46-31. And the Clippers are 49-28. It is capable for them to get back to where they were. But I think what this shows more so than anything, the Brandon Ingram injury really fucked them over right now.
I
think Brandon Ingram, for all the people who were hating on Brandon, saying that, we could replace him with a center who can shoot like Carl Anthony Towns, or we could replace him with this. No, that's fucking stupid. Because you don't like that Brandon takes mid-range, so what? They need that offense, because when he's not there, they lock in on Zion, and Zion's not ready for the triple teams. He's just not.
Well, I mean,
he doesn't have a jump shot yet. Yeah, but that's the thing. They triple team him in the paint, Nick. They allow him. They give him the space to shoot.
Of course.
He doesn't have the jumper yet. Zion needs the jumper.
Those tweet photos we saw, we talked about very briefly in the last episode, where it's like four guys are in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to – oh, yeah. Like
they have no one to guard. I also blame, the fact is, if they're clogging the paint, then CJ McCollum, Trey Murphy – y'all need to step up.
Gotta hit shots.
And granted, CJ McCollum had 31 points against the Spurs. Trey Murphy had 16. Zion didn't play because that was them making sure he was okay from the back-to-back. So maybe that affects it. But even without Zion, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Jonas, CJ, they should be able to beat the Spurs. The Spurs just have Wimby. What the fuck are we doing? So that is a bad loss. But I'm not ready to come here and just shit on the Pelicans yet. Because like I said, I do believe that losing Brandon Ingram was huge. So I think against the Suns, the Trailblazers, the Kings, the Warriors, and the Lakers, I believe the Pelicans will win at least 3 out of the next 5. I would like them to go 4-1. But if they go 3 out of the next 5, it will be okay, and they won't make the play-in. I truly believe that. They will not make the play-in. But it sucks that they're going to be 6th or 7th for when they could have been 4th. You know,
yeah, so, I agree with that.
Like, but as long as Brandon's healthy in the playoffs, I think what better story than the Pelicans, that underdog team, winning from behind in the playoffs?
Hey, who knows?
So that's what I'm looking forward to. But all right, Nick, you got?
Real quick, go ahead. Real quick, combat sports.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear what happened with Jon Jones this morning?
Oh no! Please tell me nothing bad. Don't tell me the guy got arrested or something.
Not arrested. But apparently UFC heavyweight, and I'm reading this is directly from a tweet. UFC heavyweight champion Jon Jones has threatened a drug tester's life.
Oh, my goodness.
The Drug Free Sport International's agent has reported to the police that Jones was intoxicated and threatened him/her while trying to obtain a sample for testing. So
Jesus Christ.
John Jones said, "You want to come get a drug test for me? I will kill you," basically.
Jeez.
Not great. Obviously,
that's horrible.
That gives John Jones haters a lot of ammunition that they probably didn't need. I mean, look, I am very well documented on my opinions on John Jones,
mm-hmm.
performance enhancing drugs and all those kinds of things that are involved in his story.
My thing is just like, it's a horrible look because I'm a John Jones defender, as he's the best fighter ever in the UFC. And it's like, brother, by doing this, it just denigrates your legacy even more than it already was.
As well.
Yeah.
It hurts the sport.
It does. But see, that Dana White allows that type of shit.
Is this your GOAT? Like, this is your GOAT?
See, let me not to defend John Jones, but this is to just slander Dana, because John's not the first person to do this. Conor McGregor just did this. They left USADA for Conor McGregor, bro. Like, that just goes to show what Dana condones. So it's all around the board that if Conor can do it, John feels he can do it. It's both wrong. It's all wrong.
They're both wrong.
Like,
it's at the end of the day, it does attitude reflects leadership. Remember the Titans? That's what I'm saying. Like, poor leadership. I mean, this is supposed to be the guy that when a young kid is watching your sport for the first time, they go and look up the greats, and the greats they'll see is Conor McGregor and John Jones, and not Michael Jordan and LeBron, or Tom Brady and Joe Montana, or Nolan Ryan and Randy Johnson. And
no, you're right. This,
I mean, baseball has all the steroid era stuff.
They do, but they have stuff pre.
But even steroid era stuff, it was just dudes juicing to try and hit the ball farther.
Yeah. In UFC, it's like they're juicing to win fights.
So I can kill this guy, and if you come and try and get me for juicing, I'll kill you.
And you're right. Like, the best two names of the sport is Conor McGregor and John Jones. Like,
yeah, John Jones, who's getting involved in all this crap and all the other stuff.
Conor McGregor,
Conor McGregor
attempted on a man's life.
Hitting the slopes during filming a roadhouse.
He is a sloper. He's doing a skier.
Breaking
Khabib's bus, being anti-Muslim. Like, that dude was wild.
Doing press junkets for his movie while tweaking. Like, it's just a bad look.
No,
because you got guys like Cormier. And,
who's a good dude. And Poirier, good dude.
Wonderboy.
Good dude, like, Justin Gaethje, even Rampage Jackson from the past. Guy was a good Israel Adesanya.
Well, he's a little weird,
but nothing's wrong with like that guy. Even in the guy that was the best morally and the best person in the UFC before he left, Ngannou was a perfect Francis leader.
Was
like
an absolute
He fought for fighters' rights, and Dana White was like, no, you're out of here, brother. And it's like, that guy should be the face of the UFC, but we chose John Jones.
and I mean, they got some young fighters. Like, Sugar Sean is a really good example of, like, a young fighter that's kind of doing things the right way.
Yeah, he's not a bad. He
still,
just talks
still
shit.
Loud and brash, but,
yeah,
like,
nothing wrong with that.
That's fighting. Like, that's what that is.
I like Aljamain. Aljamain's a
Jermaine
good dude.
Yeah.
I'm a big Aljamain fan. So, to your point, there are good fighters coming up. But it's just like, right now, the faces, John Jones and Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and we gotta move on from that. I mean, it's we kind of forget how young as a sport UFC still is.
Yeah, true.
Because of how quickly it rose and how fast it became a very popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was only 20 years ago or so where you still had sumo dudes fighting boxers and guys in gis fighting Brazilian kickboxers.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Like, it was a wild place for a while, and we're only just now getting to a point where, you know, you look back on those guys like GSP and all the progenitors of this modern era of fighters, and you can kind of start to see where people are coming from, where things went wrong and where things are right. So,
no, 100%. All right, Nick, give us the baseball talk. Nick's baseball corner.
So, I mean, as we sit here, it's one. It's I'm gonna time and date this video. It's 1:43 p.m.
And the people will be able to hear this
in about 15 minutes.
Okay, because I'm gonna say people will be able to hear this by like no later than 3:00.
Right. So by the time this comes out, it'll be like middle of the baseball game on the Saturday game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Friday game was a win, 13 straight for UL baseball.
Who are they playing? Who's the team they're
playing?
This
is UL Monroe.
It's okay. Nice. Oh, so they should win this weekend.
I'm not too worried about this series. They should definitely take the series. They should. I don't want to jinx anything.
And say they go undefeated in the series. Yeah,
I feel you're like. Right. But I mean, I think, you know, if you drop one to ULM, it's not nothing. It's
crazy.
You lose the win streak, but that sucks. But like, move on. As long as they don't lose this series. I mean, because this would be a momentum stopper. That would be a brick wall in your way. But with the way that they've been playing, the way they've been hitting the ball, the way their pitching has been phenomenal. And I swear, this is the best pitching rotation since I've been watching the team in my
life. Hell yeah.
Langevin, Martinez, all these guys on their coming out of the bullpen and starting games, they're all lethal. They can all get one by you, every single one of them. And then they got probably one of the best fielding units.
Sounds like Diggs
behind them.
Sounds like Diggs did not want to do what happened last year with dealing with up and down pitching. That guy went and got the best.
Yeah, and I mean the injuries last year were also a big issue. And let's knock on wood that doesn't happen again. But I mean, you've got guys, I mean, seriously, seriously good pitchers back there. And Deggs is still, yeah. And I put a lot of I'm trying to think of the word.
Like, forgetting the word?
I'm trying to get props to
Deggs the credit.
Well, not just Deggs, but the pitching staff, the coach. Oh,
the new pitching coaching. Yeah.
Yeah. Gunnar Leger, and all those guys. I mean, they are absolutely
true. That former UL stud, of course, he would know about pitching. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Deggs' small ball is still working. It's never going to not work. And you can still got guys that you can absolutely blast one to the soccer field.
Hell yeah.
Who have been to Russo Park now. and also, so I mean, I saw the Moon Griffon show did it, Rage and Review did it. I want to shout out the Rage and Burners. Because they have been following this whole thing ever since Southern took down LSU.
They've been making
the Twitter experience so good for me. Because the trees at the Teague and Dat Megs? I don't know. It's like a Matt Deggs.
Camo,
UCP Camo. All those guys have been making it so fun. They've been really like out there gassing.
Hell yeah. Boys
And you know, smoking some LSU fans. So it's been great. It's a really good Twitter discourse right now. The team's hot. This reminds me of when UL basketball was hot a couple years
ago. Oh, okay.
Right. And they got really hot. They won the Sun Belt.
Do you think Raging Cajun baseball, do you think they'll win the Sun Belt? And is this team prime to make the college?
As good a chance as they have in a while.
Do you think this is the team that makes it to the College World Series and maybe makes a run?
I mean, make a run, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of really good college baseball being played this year.
Okay.
And I think the biggest thing is you got to get past Coastal.
True.
Coastal is such a powerhouse of a team in college baseball. And they have.
But if they do that, that shows that,
if you get past Coastal, if you get past Coastal and win the Sun Belt, I think that proves that you can take on these guys in the College World Series. And I mean, they've already played Vandy and LSU and like some of these top dogs. Yeah, they lost, but they didn't get blown out. They didn't get beat to crap. And this was all early in the season. So, I mean, you got these guys, if they get on a little streak and they get a little hot here, I don't expect this win streak to last much longer. I hope it lasts through the weekend, but at some point you're going to drop a game.
Yeah, facts. It's baseball.
Yeah, exactly. It's baseball. I mean, the great quote from Robe is like, you know, you win a third and you lose a third. It's what happens in that like final third is what decides the season.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're kicking that final third's ass.
Nice.
So let's hope that they keep that up. And I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, you got to do, you know, you really got to give it your best. You got to give it your all. And once they get to the Sun Belt conference tournament, that's when we'll kind of see what this team is made of. Hoping they stay healthy that long. They really have. And to his credit, Deggs is doing an awesome job of rotating guys in and out, getting everybody a little bit of time in so they can get their bats warm, kind of get their arms warm for the pitchers. I don't think I've seen a single player that can't contribute to this team that's been on the field yet.
So
every single one of them has something to contribute in different ways. And it's a really dynamic and balanced team. So, I mean, I have high hopes for this season.
Hell yeah. So that was Nick's Baseball Corner. We will review the games on the early week episode next week. And Nick, I'm going to give you a challenge for next Friday. I want a list of the top five players on UL's team that make a difference for them to make it to the College World Series.
Heard that.
I want the five of them. And then on top of that.
That's going to be a tough five, by the way.
I know. Well, that's a good thing.
They got a lot of good players.
And then I also, in preparation for the Sun Belt tournament, We need 5 teams from the Sun Belt that UL fans need to educate themselves on because these teams are dangerous.
Oh, I could give you 2 or 3 right now before.
Well, we'll save it for next week.
All right,
we'll
all right.
That'll be good content.
I already said Coastal, so I'll give you that one for free. Coastal is one.
We'll do the teams on Tuesday and the players for the Friday Thursday episode. So
perfect.
All right, hell yeah. That's pretty much our episode for today. Look, if you're listening to this, WrestleMania is tonight and Sunday. We put out our prediction episode on YouTube and wherever you get your audio. Check out our WrestleMania predictions if you want to make bets. Because right now, Nick, my record in predicting wrestling in both companies this year, 9-2. I'm 9-2 in my wrestling predictions
right now.
Where's
the money going, Lynn?
That's what I'm saying. So we need the people to follow us on there. Check that out. Also, make sure you check out Vagabond Sports. And with that, Nick, tell them where they can follow you at on social media.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at ShareItsMe, ChereItsMe. If you're looking for sports writing stuff, you can find it at Vagabond Sports, at Vagabond Sports. And the WordPress link is all in there. And if you're interested in video games and any of that kind of stuff, you can find me also on Twitter at Revenant Rogue. That's all my gaming stuff and nerd culture and whatnot.
And for all those links, remember, they will be in the description of the YouTube video or the Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Like I said, put in your comments if you want to be a part of the Crew Love section every Friday. If you have a question on which team's going to win the NBA Finals, if you have a football question, baseball question, whatever it is, or you just want to leave comments that you want read on the show, whatever it is, email us at broswhothink@outlook.com. Or comment on whatever video you're listening to and leave a comment, or tweet at Nick or tweet at myself at LynnBWT. And make sure you follow the Bros Who Think at Bros Who Think. Subscribe to the YouTube and the audio because we have so much content coming out now. The plan is here. We are in what we pitched to you in January. We are finally here. So embrace it, love it, and enjoy all this amazing content we're giving you. But until next week, for Nick, my name is Lennon. You guys have a good one and peace.